coming to the church on the first Sunday of Advent and hearing the apocalyptic words of Jesus in Luke's gospel may seem a bit akin to following Alice in her adventure down the rabbit's hole in Wonderland. It's very strange, and not at all in keeping with the tone of our culture this time of year, which brandishes catchy little tunes reminding us that Santa will soon be here, and that since we've worked so hard and been so good, we deserve the most elaborate and expensive gifts for Christmas. And yet, this year, the words of catastrophe and upheaval may not sound quite as foreign as they have in years past. This year, with the climate of late with terrorist attacks and superstorms and an El Nino hovering on the horizon, claiming to be the worst ever and bringing forth horrific weather, catastrophe may seem not out of the norm. Our news and weather anchors often sound like the apocalyptic authors of Scripture, continually ratcheting up their adjectives to heighten our fearful attention. There will probably be folks preaching today that the state of the world right now proves that the end is near. Didn't Jesus say that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and that there would be distress among the nations confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves? And doesn't that sound just like terrorists and El Niños? Well, maybe it does, and maybe it doesn't. Since time began, or at least since time has been recorded in stories, there have been folks who have found signs in their time that the end was near. And at some point, that will be the case. At some point, the end will come. We believe that, or at least we say that we believe that. What a down note for the happiest time of the year. So what do? Dissolve into a puddle of despair? Not bother to trim the tree or deck the halls? If the end is just lurking right around the corner, why bother with the rituals of Advent in the church and Christmas in the culture? The fact is, we don't know when Christ will return and what that will look like. What we do know is that we are told to be ready and to be alert, not to be despairing or fearful, but ready and alert. We have two dogs at our house, Carly and Rosie. Carly and Rosie could not have more different personalities. Carly, who lived the first few months of her life in a shelter, is somewhat tentative and fearful. She hides her fear with a ferocious bark, but the slightest affront sends her bounding quickly into her crate for safety. Rosie, on the other hand, spent much of her early life on the streets. I don't think Rosie is afraid of anything. She's alert, always on the watch. If not dozing next to Tom on the sofa, most often Rosie can be found perched on the ledge at the top of the hill in our yard. She watches and watches, guarding her territory, keeping a look out for those who might approach. She's a tiny, dependable, furry sentry. Occasionally, Rosie will catch sight of a sneaky, fierce intruder in the form of a cat and give the chase of her life. When the intruding big brown truck from UPS comes to bring packages from afar, Rosie runs straight up the drive with the driver, with her tail going in circles so fast you might think she would levitate. Her waiting is anticipatory. Her watching not just for intruders, but for someone who might befriend her, pat her head, scratch her belly, or give her a treat like the mailman does. I think we can learn a lot about life and love and forgiveness from dogs. Maybe Rosie has something to teach us about being alert and watching and waiting. Being alert isn't always associated with anticipating an intruder or a catastrophic event. Being alert means being attentive, watching, expecting, anticipating, not just that which is potentially harmful, but also that which is good. Being alert means paying attention and being engaged. This first Sunday of Advent, we began the new year in the calendar of the church, and new beginnings offer hope. And this is a season of hope, as well as a season of watching and waiting. It's a season where we remember that we are sitting on the edge of anticipation, on the tiptoe of expectation, says our gospel friend Luke in an earlier part of his gospel. If newscasters and weather predictors have their way with us, then we will be expecting the worst, and we will live our days in fear and foreboding, as those looking over our shoulders at every turn, expecting everyone we meet to have an ulterior motive, and every storm to be the worst imaginable. If the story we find in our history with God called Scripture is right, then we have nothing to fear, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the face of the unknown. There is one who is certain. There is one who can be known, one with whom all things are possible. I invite you this Advent to take part in the Anglican Communion's Advent observance through something called Advent Word. You can find it online with hashtag Advent Word if you're on Twitter, or by Googling Advent Word or joining through email. Each day during Advent, a different word is given, and we will share our experiences of that word through a picture. The words today are hashtag wake up. To be alert, we must be awake. We must wake up. Waking up is not merely a physical exercise. Waking up can also be spiritual and emotional. To wake up and be alert, we must be aware. We must be attuned. We must be engaged. To be alert and awake, we must care and be actively involved in the world around us. When we're fearful, our tendency is to turn in and turn inward, to disengage from our surroundings and stay undercover where we feel most safe. The season of Advent urges us out of places of fearfulness, begs us to come out from hiding, to engage, to be involved, to wake up and be alert. While waiting and watching are often thought of as passive behaviors, void of activity, that is not the call of Advent. The call is to be alert, to pay attention, to wake up, to take stock, and be engaged.